Now, for this special service we're having here today, since I didn't have a service this morning with you, what I want to do is I want to have one this afternoon. And my aim is to get you out before 12, which would have been my aim this morning. I want to make sure of that. And we can get us out by 12, I'm sure. If not, by 5 or 6 or something like that. We'll work on it, though. I'm new at this, so this is my first 3 o'clock service on a Sunday afternoon that I remember of.
The whole game starts at
6. Yeah, and I heard that. Everybody wants to see the ball game. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to begin reading at verse 5. As we look into this chapter in Colossians chapter 3, the believer has made a union with Christ through conversion. And when somebody's converted, they change. And God changes them. They don't change their self.
Right.
People have recently started preaching against repentance and saying that's a work of man. Repentance is not a work of man. If you study the word repentance out, you'll find out repentance is a gift from God.
Amen.
And repentance being a gift from God, that's something that man can't lay claim to because that's God doing that. When God deals with somebody in conviction, he deals with them in conversion. And in Colossians chapter 3, if you look at verse number 1, he says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory." So he points out for a fact that if you've risen with Christ, and listen, that's a big if. And the reason I say that, we're in the South where everybody knows the lingo and the language. I've told missionaries and people I've taught in the Bible college this. If you want a big church, all you got to do is go somewhere where there's not one. Take the power of God with you, the word of God and his message, and you can go out there and you'll run into people that are lost, that'll know they're lost, and they'll come to Christ. And you can have as big a church as you want.
Right.
Probably as big a church as you can handle. And all you got to do is go out there and give out the gospel freely.
Right.
But see, here's the problem. We got a crowd around here, for some reason, they think that when we look at the gospel here, they'll say things like, "Well, if there's no results, God ain't in it."
Yeah.
You ever heard that before? Well, listen to this. If you then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things that are where? In the congregation by number of attendance or by what? On things that are above.
Right.
I found the biggest failure in the Bible this morning by accident. I want to share this with you right quickly. Let me find it. If you'll turn over to Exodus, the book of Exodus, you get there and I'll find it. Somewhere in the beginning of the chapters there, it's chapter 5, verse 22. Chapter 5, verse 22, Exodus chapter 5, verse 22. We'll come back to Colossians. I want to take my time and preach to you this afternoon and just get all this out. I don't have to do 2 services in one. I don't like being snowed in because I don't get to preach both services, so you just bear with me here. Now, Exodus chapter 5, if you look down at verse 22, God called Moses. He called him out of the strangest thing. He called him out of a burning bush. He said, "You're going to go into Egypt. I'm going to send you down there, and you're going to lead your people out." Is that what he told him he's going to do? So what did Moses do? He hurried the process along. He went and tried to do it himself. It didn't work. He got ran out. He come back. You know, God told him to go back, and he is going to take care of everything. And just like when God calls a man to do something, he calls him to do it. He calls him in obedience, not out of progress.
Right.
Watch this. Exodus chapter 5, verse 22. Biggest failure in the Bible according to this world's standard right now. It says, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me?" Moses knew he was called. "For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." He pointed his finger at God and said, "You hadn't done what you said." So when I hear somebody say, "Well, that guy that's preaching over there, if God was there, there'd be more results." Here's the biggest failure right here in the Bible. He said, and he pointed at God, "How'd you do that?" "Not my fault, God. Why? You called me. I know you called me. Put me here. Why ain't you done nothing?"
Yeah.
Hey, listen. I want you to circle a word in Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord saith unto Moses." Highlight this next word. Circle it. Now. Now. I found out something. Everything's on God's timing, whether you believe it is or not.
Right.
He says, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. We've seen what you can do. Now we're going to see what I can do. And all the stuff that happens to Pharaoh, don't miss this. It wasn't on the outside what happened to Pharaoh that counted. It was what happened right here that counted. He hardened his heart. He'd say, well, no, you can't go. And God would bring a plague. He'd say, all right, go ahead. And then he'd harden his heart and all this other stuff. Pharaoh was never converted.
Right.
And in the end of that little stretch there, you'll find out the last time God hardened his heart.
Mm-hmm.
You reject the Lord enough, he'll eventually reject you and say, okay, you don't want me, fine. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll leave you up to it. You can have all you want of it.
Right.
And that's what happened there. Now, if you go back to Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things, it says, above, not on things on the earth. Here's the backside of that. If you do go to a place in the middle of nowhere and you try to do something and you don't build that big church I just talked about, God may just want you there. Because I found this out. Somebody told me this. I didn't believe it until 20 years later. But God calls people to have a relationship with him and for them to do what he says, not get the results they want out of said relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I know here a while back they were talking about the Powerball lottery reaching a record high of $1.4 billion. And all I could hear is my dead grandmother saying, you don't need that. And she's probably from heaven saying that, and I'm right. And by saying this, I really don't need that.
Right.
I've always said it'd be a miracle if I won the lottery, because you got to play to win, and I never play, so it'd be a miracle if I won.
Yeah.
And somebody asked me one time, said, what would you do if one of your members won it? I said, well, I don't know what I'd do, but if they didn't tithe on it, I sure would church them on it. Amen and amen. Amen. But anyway, I just know this. While the world was chasing that, I kept thinking to myself, riches are fleeting.
Yeah.
Riches are fleeting. A man at one, I think it's so many millions of dollars, somebody invaded his home the other night and killed him. He didn't have it in his house.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
Ain't you glad you didn't win?
It's better to come to my house.
Yeah, pride goeth before destruction. It killed you first and then took your money. What, that $5 you got or whatever it is? Whatever you got, that'd have took it. But I want to look down here at verse 5. And there's a word that shows up here that says mortify. To mortify something's to put it to death. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walk some time when ye lived in them. Now, if I'm reading this correctly, he just told the Christian to be risen with Christ, set your affection on things and above, and then he tells them all them sins you done and you lost to stop them. It, listen, everything he named there could be in this room right now amongst saved people. But he says to start off with mortify. I'm going to preach to you this afternoon on call the mortician. Call the mortician. A mortician is somebody who makes you dead. In 1905 in this country, all the funeral home directors got together. They pleaded with Congress to pass a bill. And that bill states like this. If they get your body, you have to be embalmed before you leave that funeral home. Now, the reason they done this, they had some things set up in the graveyards out there where they had dug up graves in the past to move them, or for whatever reason, and they would find claw marks in the top of the casket where somebody had been literally buried alive. Everybody thought they were dead. The doctor said they were dead. They put them in the casket. They sealed the casket. They lowered it into the ground. They piled the dirt on it. And years later, when it was dug up, they found out that person was trying to get back out. And so they rigged up this thing, some of them did, and they said, you know what we'll do? We'll tie a string on the hand of that corpse, run it up through a thing, run it up through the dirt, and have a bell on it. And for so long after that person's dead, we'll keep that thing there, and we'll keep a guy up all night listening for bells, and a guy during the day listening to bells, and if he hears a bell ring, he'd know to go dig that guy up. The guy that watched it all night, guess what he got named with? He is the graveyard shift, and they still call it that to this day in all these plants and convenience stores, everything else. If you work third shift, that's the graveyard shift. That's where they got that term from.
Yeah.
The mortician said, you know, when we get them, we don't want them to be alive when they leave here. We're going to mortify them. We're going to put them to death. Therefore, the term mortician. We're going to put them to death. They'll take your body, and I mean no disrespect by this to anybody that's lost any loved ones. They'll bring that body in there. They'll take it. They'll cut one side on your neck. They'll hook a pump up on that side. And they'll cut the other side, the two main arteries, and they're pumping blood out and embalming fluid in. In other words, dear friend, if you're not dead when you get there, you will be when you leave. You will be mortified. You will be put to death. And as we look in this passage, we need to call the mortician. He said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. This is not an epistle directed to pastors to kill their members. This is an epistle to the church for them to take care of their members. Talking about their arms, their eyes, their legs, their feet, things like that. And the first thing he says put away is this. Hey, mortify them. Put them away. Put away, number one, sexual sins. The word fornication shows up right there in verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. First one listed is sexual sins. Fornication literally is the act of having sex outside of marriage between two people that are not married.
Right.
It is, it's an act of lewdness. Listen, I've heard people say, well, I do such and such in that way, therefore I'm not having sex with that person. You are a fornicator is what you are. Listen, hey, the Bible says it's not good that a man touch a woman over there. Why does it say that? Because once you touch her, you're going to touch her in other places. Hey, I know that a lot of people say, we don't like preaching like that. I know why you don't like it, bless God. You've been watching them TV shows where they touch everything. Hey, and you want to get out there and touch that thing. Or you want to live vicariously through your children. Hey, listen, put that thing to death. Put that fornication to death. I heard people say to me all my life, well, you got to drive the car before you try it out. Well, bless God, I didn't marry no car.
Amen.
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 And if she did, I'd have been traded in years ago.
Right.
I'm so broke down and can't hardly go and sputter and spat all the time. I'm just glad, thank God, we didn't try out before we got that way. That way we would have been a mess, sure enough.
Right.
Listen, Acts chapter 15, verse 29, it says this, that you abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled. Everybody said amen till he said this, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare ye well. Hey, listen, if you stay away from that thing, you'll stay away from a lot of problems.
Right.
I've heard people try to tell me over the years, well, now you know them STDs. That's a bad thing. And every fornicator knows about them. You know why? It's common amongst that crowd.
Yeah.
Fornication breeds that kind of thing. Listen, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, everybody tells me they're looking for the will of God. I want the will of God. Preacher, I don't know the will of God. Here's the will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You want the will of God for your life? Stay out of the bed with somebody. So that's too plain a preaching. That's why people don't like this, baby. Hey, listen. Hey, they don't like it because it's too plain.
Right.
And I like it because it is. Because when I first got saved, I never even heard the word fornication. I never even heard it preached before. Of course, now I wasn't a church goer, but I just never had heard that before. Right. Now that I know what it is, I know this. You ain't supposed to do it.
Right.
And that's the will of God, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. Colossians says, mortify therefore your members. Hey, listen, put that thing to death.
Amen.
Put that thing to death. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Put away sexual sins. And then number two, he says uncleanness in that verse. Put away secular sins. The word uncleanness occurs 40 times in the Bible, and 40 in the Bible is the number of trials, probation, and testing. Uncleanness, 40 times. Here's the cry of society. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. What uncleanness is moral impurity. It's defilement by sin and sinfulness. Everybody's doing it. It may not be a big sin, but it's a sin that latches on to you and causes things around you to turn around. I was thinking the other day, there is people I know that are ethically not right. They need a course in ethics like you wouldn't believe. They don't know how to deal with business. They don't know how to deal with people. There's people who don't have any social skills. They're so messed up. If you say hello to them, they don't know whether to cuss you or spit on you. They're messed up. They need somebody to tell them this. I've seen people, listen, I sat at the house of this dear southern lady, me and this pastor did. She was a dear widow. She was almost 90 years old. She insisted that we come to her house for dinner one time that's preaching revival. Boy, I've never seen that like this as I was a child. We had to sit in there. The forks had to be on the right side. Everything was laid out there. She brought out this thing. It was a little salad thing about this big. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to starve to death. We ate that thing, and it was good. I mean, she had a little thing of dressing this big and sat there with it and all that. And you got through that, and she'd take up all that. And next thing, she'd bring out this other little thing, a little piece of cornbread or something. And it was just I'd say it's fancy compared to today's society. But you don't see that anymore because people don't have any social skills.
Right.
But when we get down to uncleanness, that deals with the moral problems. And people this day and age have no respect for other human beings.
Right.
I mean, my goodness, if you're paying somebody to wait on you at a restaurant and they come to you and say, "Can I help you? What do you want?" You know where they learned that out? They learned that at the house. They got a mouthy mama that talks back and talks loud and does everything around there like that. Hey, you need to learn respect, but you need to be taught respect. And then listen, all this business about you can't get respect, you give respect, no. That gets taught at the house.
Right.
I've heard people say, "Well, I want to find a church that'll have all these children's programs." I know why you want them. You don't want to raise your own children.
Yeah.
That's what the problem is. Oh, we need to have children's church. Why? So you can get away from your little cute little things you got the bumper sticker about, but you can't stand to see them?
No.
Amen, friend. Listen, I know I'm in the right area now because I see it all the time. Listen, hey, everyone else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it, but that don't make it right.
Amen.
All of society today, listen. Hey, listen. All of society today said, listen, there's no way. There's no way we can get out today. The roads are too bad and this is too bad and all this other stuff too bad. But what was it in July you couldn't get out for?
Come on.
The same crowd that said it was too cold, listen, the same crowd that said it's too cold, it was too hot. It's just, I can't make it, it's too hot. Oh, it's too cold. You are insatiable. You know what you have? You have a moral decay going on, you don't even realize it. You know what you need to do with it? Call the mortician, put that thing to death. You know why? Because it's not only killing you, it's killing everybody around you. But see, that thing is like a disease, it'll spread. Notice this one here. Listen. Hey, the first mention of the word uncleanness in the Bible is in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 3. It says, "So if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty of the uncleanness of man, if he touch it." Hey, listen to me. Hey, the first thing of uncleanness that shows up in the Bible has to do with a man. Where's all the feminists now? You say, "Well, in the Greek or the Hebrew, that means mankind." Whatever, but I don't hear them hollering about that. Change that, did they?
Yeah.
We don't want gender neutrality. No, leave that one right there just the way it is. All right, let me tell you something. If that be the case, and that's only talking about the male side, guess what? That gets secular sins, because it's usually men that start them secular sins. Who do you think's promoting all this stuff in society? Who do you think gets your little girls to take off her clothes and pose for these magazines? Who do you think it is that gets all these football players to endorse these products they don't even use?
Right.
I heard a while ago, and boy, I'm glad she left her. Listen, Peyton Manning took a $4 million pay cut to stay on the team this year. Instead of making $19 million, he makes $15 million. Listen, I think we need to go, listen, everybody wants to be share and share alike, right? I think we need to make the minimum wage in the NFL the only wage of the NFL, where everybody makes the same. Now, I'm being generous here. You don't know what the minimum wage is yet. $350,000. Boy, I think that'd be fair. Listen. But you know what they'd do? They'd pay them under the table like they do these jobs around here. Everybody else is doing it. Well, I don't make it right. You say, does that still go on? Still goes on. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. "Wherefore God also gave them up to," not sodomy, "uncleanness." God gave them up to uncleanness. What are they doing? They followed into secular sins. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's saying it. Everybody's doing part of it. But see, it's not right. See, the issue's not whether somebody's doing it. The issue's whether it's right. And I see this. He said, "Mortify your members." Not pump life into them. Mortify them. Put them to death. Say, how can we do that? Well, we need to call the mortician. We need to have him help us out. Listen, the Bible says not only put away them secular sins and them sexual sins, but put away sight sins. He points out in verse 5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness," watch this one, "inordinate affections." These things are some things that bring you in sin just looking at them. You say, "Well, I don't have no problem doing window shopping." Yes, you do, because inordinate means irregular. It means disorderly. It means something that's excessive. It's something that's immoderate. And listen, it's something that's not limited to rules or to the usual bounds. It's just way out there. It's inordinate. And then the word affection means passion, but it's a mind bent towards a particular object or a person. To have inordinate affection literally is dealing with sight sins. It's something you lay your eyes on that you can't stop looking at. Even when you go to bed at night, you're thinking about it. He said, listen, don't pump life into that. Put it to death. If you got a problem with something you look at and that's all you see when you ain't looking at it, you need to ask God to help you with that thing. Listen, hey, call a mortician. We need to put that thing to death, because that inordinate affection will get you in a flat mess. Listen to this, Matthew 5:28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman, listen to this, to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So Christ nails this thing down a little bit further instead of just the actual very physical act. He said if you do it up here by looking at her, do you do it up here? He said that's adultery. Hey, that's a sight sin. You say, listen, I like him. I like sitting on the park bench. You dirty old pervert. Listen, you need to quit that. You need to quit going to the mall or Walmart or wherever it is that's killing you like that. Hey, listen, don't let that thing put you to death. Put it to death. Hey, you saved out of it, not saved to do that thing. Get rid of that thing. Call the mortician. It needs to be put to death. Romans 13:14 says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Sometimes that means staying out of the way of some things. You know, I heard somebody tell me a while back, they said, listen, I don't see how people go to the beach. Boy, they go down there and take their clothes off. I run up here to the mountains. Every time I've been in the mountains in the summer, that's what they do up there too. They have the beach down here, but up there they got the swimming pool. Same difference. You know, when I go to it, when they're not around. Listen, I don't have a problem looking at half-dressed women. You know why? I don't go where they're at. That's easy. Amen. We go on vacation. Listen, one of the things down there is a bunch of old ladies and old men from up north. And their knees look like they had a bag of doorknobs in them. So ain't nothing to look at down there. Yeah. You can go down there and actually enjoy where you're at. Mm-hmm. Amen, friend. Y'all like that.
Amen.
Listen, looking like a sack of hickory nuts. Cover that stuff up. Listen, friend, hey, listen. What I like is I like to go down there and enjoy what I'm seeing, not have to go down there and fight 10,000 people just to look at the water.
Right.
And by the way, here's the strangest thing you'll ever hear. I go down there and I never get in it because I hate that.
Nope.
I just like the looks and sound of it and the smell of it.
Yeah.
And the quietness. I live in Gaffney. We got a crime rate. You hear that all the time. Or boomba chicka, boomba chicka, boomba chicka. And that, listen, that's anywhere in the city. That's even down there at the police department. I heard it down there the other night.
Yeah.
I thought, why don't you boys pile out and arrest this crowd? That's got to be a violation of something.
Yeah.
But listen, hey, he said, listen, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lust. Why is that? Because, if you don't flee them things that got you as a kid, they'll get you as an adult. Listen to this, friend. Listen, mortify your members. Mortify them. Put away sexual sins, secular sins, sight sins. And if you'll notice the next thing he points out in verse number 5 after the inordinate affection is evil concupiscence. Evil concupiscence. I looked that up because I'd never heard that word before, and that's an irregular appetite for worldly good. Most sophisticated people, they rationalize their sophisticated sins by the fact of their social status. Example. Listen, to be drunk in a ditch or in a homeless shelter, them people are just pathetic. And they'll say, listen, that's just pathetic. Here's some money. Go fix that. Get that out of my sight. Well, here's this guy over here. He's doing this over here. That's just pathetic. Get that out of my sight. But when they go down to the lodge, it's okay to drink beer.
Come on.
When they go to the restaurant, it's okay to order a bottle of wine, even if they are a deacon in this town.
Yeah.
Not that I've seen a few of them, but none here. See, and I preach the crowd ain't here, and I preach the crowd is here. Don't do it here either.
Amen.
And listen, that goes for more than deacons. That goes for Christians. As a Christian, you should always abstain from the appearance of evil. I had a picture took one time. They put a bottle of water, put it like a bottle of wine. I thought, man, I didn't see that thing in the picture. I'd done it, but it was water. But too late, they didn't got me in a picture with it. Now I'm a drunk. And listen, you know what evil concupiscence says? Well, they've already seen that. I might as well do the real thing. Let me give you a little friendly advice. I do not buy the Lord's Supper stuff here, and nor do I have it bought here where they buy the Welch's and looks like a champagne bottle.
Right.
You know why? That's just pathetic for a church to want to look like that.
Right.
He didn't say pump life into Welch's by buying that stuff. He said, no, call the mortician. Put that thing to death. That needs to die. We need to stop all things that look like that. Hey, do you know I found a guy a while back drinking a brown bottle out of a paper bag? I said, brother, what's up? I said, I thought you quit all. Oh, it's just a root beer. Tell you something. I don't care if it's a root beer or a beer. If it looks like a beer, it don't matter what it is. You trying to look like that? Hey, listen, that's a sophisticated sin. You're trying to look like the rest of the crowd.
Mom.
Tell you something else, too. I brought this up here with me today because I want to make y'all know something here. You see this right here? This shouldn't last so long. You got to put a piece of foam around it that has some kind of nasty saying on it.
Right. Yeah.
I don't own them things. You know why I don't own them? Because all the beer drinkers have one.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen, I want to make sure of this, that if anything happens, I don't look like that sophisticated sinning crowd to my Lord.
Right.
I'm not so worried so much about everybody else's things. He said to avoid all appearance evil, and that includes them sophisticated sins. Concupiscence works like this. Romans chapter 7, verse 8 is the first mention of the word. It says, but sin, taking occasion by commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. What in the world? Hey, listen, how'd that thing get like that? Well, as long as you don't get drunk, you're okay to drink. That's what they say. Well, as long as you're not out bouncing from partner to partner to partner, it's okay to be a lesbian and work in the church. Say, I don't believe that. It's happening in this town. It's on staff in this town. It ain't on staff here.
Right.
You know why? I'm the staff. Amen. Hey, man, don't you like that? You ain't got to worry about that here, amen. Listen, because I'm the staff. Listen, I see it say right there for a fact. He said that thing wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Hey, you know what sin does? Sin's so deceitful that what it'll do is it'll take sin, give it to you in a little moderate portion, and you'll think it's okay because it's sophisticated. Well, all your friends that you call preppies back in high school, well, they're doing it, so it's got to be okay. As long as you do it in moderation. Listen, you bunch of drunks, it's okay. Just drink in moderation. It's okay. That's what all the compromisers that didn't have church today are saying.
Come on.
Hey, that's what they're saying. They say, as long as you drink a beer every now and then, you don't drink a case. God don't look at it that way. He calls them a drunk whether they drink a drop or a gallon. And listen, they say these sophisticated sins. We don't like what that guy's doing, so we're going to throw money and make him disappear. He's a drug addict. He's a drug addict. But yet, it's okay for you to go around here and get high on pills that you say the doctor gave you, but the doctor didn't give them to you. You bought them from somebody else, but they come from the pharmacy. So therefore, it's justified. Yeah, those are just sophisticated sins.
Yeah.
I know people right now that sell their pills every month to make money. You know what they are? They're a drug dealer.
Right.
You know where they need to be? Right in prison, right beside the crack dealer.
Yep. Right.
They need to share cells with old Bubba and have to clean his toes out every night. That's what they need to do. Hey, let me tell you something. That sophisticated sin of selling pharmaceutical pills like that, and I'm not talking about a pharmacist. I'm talking about some dope head that went to the doctor and lied about what he's hurting on to get some kind of pills, and he went to some idiot doctor, didn't even check him, just wrote the thing out, handed it to him. He said, go ahead, there you go, and he went and got them. Now he's selling for $5 and $10 more than they're worth.
Mm.
A pill.
Yeah, come on.
And some people buy them and they say, well, I don't smoke that marijuana and that K2 and that cocaine and that crack. I don't fool with all that. No, but you'll sit there and get high and slobber on yourself in pills and act like you something.
Come on.
You can't get people to shout on this in church because they're so afraid you're talking about them. You've been buying pills from your friends or trading off with them? Hey, listen. I don't think pharmaceutical things is wrong. I used to preach against them years ago because I was healthy. Now that I'm older, I think everybody needs a pill box. It has Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And the older you get two of them. One for Monday morning, one for Monday night, and so forth like that.
Wow.
But I found out something. You better stay at the same doctor and let him check everything you do. You better stay at the same pharmacy. You know why? Because every once in a while, somebody try to offer you something that you don't need.
Yeah.
And there'll be the sincerest intentions, but I found out something. Some of my medicine conflicts with some of your medicine. I took my sugar a while ago. You ready to hear this? 117. You know what that means? That means my pills, I've been taking them right and doing right. But if I took my pills and your pills, that thing might shoot up our 207 or so. Because there'd be a reaction with that stuff.
Yep.
So I take that diabetic medicine. You don't take what I take. You know why? I take a generic. My generic and your generic may be two different things.
Yep, right.
Be made by two different companies. One thing in there, react to it, and there you go. Now you're in a mess.
Yep.
And you go back to the doctor. I don't know what's wrong with me. My doctor is a vampire. He takes blood every time I go. I need blood work today. I hear it every time I go in. I walk in there with pneumonia, about to die with upper respiratory infection and strep throat. He said, I need to do two tests on you. He said, I need to do a strep throat test, a flu test. Oh, and I need to get your blood today while you're in. I'm like, Okay, I mean, it can't get no worse, right? Hey, listen to me. They do that because they want to find out what's in your blood. Are you? It ain't so much to check what you're doing and what you're not doing. It's to make sure you're doing right with what you got. Thank God for that. I know a few doctors in town. They don't need to put in a laboratory. They need to put in something where they check everybody in there on the spot. They need the whole thing set in there. Not just a place to stick your arm, but I mean the whole thing, check it right there before you get out the door if they can find out whether or not you a dope head or not.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Says the guy who takes a urine test about every 2 months. He said, does your doctor require it? No, I require it. That way, if any of you think I'm a dope head, I'm going to send you to my doctor and sign a paper where you can see it. I might be accused of a lot of things, and I might be a lot of things, but two things I'm going to do. I'm going to stay away from the things I preach on, and I'm going to tithe. I got my tithe report up here. If you don't see that, I'll sign the paper for you.
Amen.
I ain't ashamed of that stuff.
Amen.
You know why? Because it gets back to this. One way or another, we got to call the mortician. We're going to put them sophisticated sins to death.
Amen.
Listen to this one. There's one last one in this list, and it's probably the most important one of all because it reflects all of it. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Idolatry occurs in the Bible 5 times. 5 in the Bible is the number of death. You want to see an early grave? Christian, listen, keep food up in idolatry and you'll find it. You'll find it. Listen, I see that idolatry is the worship of idols and images or anything made by hands or that which is not God. People in this country, we've got such a problem with idolatry. People, listen, it's easy to find people's God. You just get up and preach and watch people's faces and name off secular things, and eventually you're going to see which ones are God. These people that's not sitting here right now because I've said the words deer hunting in lieu of that shouldn't consume all your time. And I stand by it.
Amen.
Tell you why. Deer hunting's not a sin, but if that thing consumes you so much that you're spending $30,000 a year on it and all your time and all your vacation time and everything you pumping in that thing's about, there's a problem there.
That's right.
Listen, instead of you wanting to be with your wife, you want to go out and set at 4 o'clock in the morning in cold weather to kill something that that has horns on it. Now think about that thing for a minute. You want to pour what on you so that thing won't smell you? Wake up, man. That ain't how you do that thing.
Right.
My teacher over here said you don't put that stuff on you, so I believed him.
Right.
First time I went hunting with him, there come one being drug out. I thought that's a mule walking out there in the distance or something. I kept thinking, that's the funniest looking creature I ever seen. It was him dragging a deer, and I thought, oh, okay.
Mom.
Hey, listen to me. Fishing is not a sin unless you're pumping your life into it.
Right.
And it's getting ahead of God. And you trying to find a church that gets you out by 8 o'clock and have a little contemporary service where you can wear your shorts and leave out of there and pull your boat out. Hey, for years I watched that Methodist church up under the house. There's a guy with a truck with a boat attached to it to come to morning service. You know what he's doing? He's getting ready to run down our Lake Wiley. Going to catch him bass, catch him crappie, catch him. Hey, listen, if you're pumping your life into something like that and you're running out of church to do it and you ain't coming back, hey, there's a problem there.
Amen.
I like hunting. I like fishing, but don't let it take your life like that.
Right.
One of the oddest things I ever heard in my life is people as fishers and hunters and things like that. They say, oh, I just get so close to God. It's like, I get so close to God out there. I worship God out there in nature. I got out there the first time and hunted the hymn books down. They wasn't none. I said, who's preaching? They wasn't no preacher. I said, we ain't getting close to God. This ain't no worship service.
Right.
This is pleasure. People's chasing after that thing. What are they coveting? They coveting to be able to get the biggest deer or the biggest fish to go out there and tell all these big tales. And whether they catch it or shoot it or not, they're going to say they did. Well, this would have been a 12-pointer, but half of it broke off. It's only 6. I know it's a 4-pointer, but he was 700 pounds. Was it a cow? Was it a baby cow you killed? It had deformed horns? And my goodness, the fishing lies I've heard and told in my life. How big was he? Well, this big, you know.
Yeah.
I sat down at this place up there in North Carolina at Lake Wiley one time when I was about 14 years old. And these fishermen would come out. It's where you get gas out up on Lake Wiley. I couldn't find it now if I had a map. I don't know where it is. I just know we went to it a lot. It's a little pier thing. You walk up in there, little restaurant, you buy gas. I met Ric Flair there. That's why I remember this thing. But anyway. While I was in there, I kept noticing something. Every man that come in there telling a fishing story, they kept getting bigger and bigger. I was waiting for the guy to come in and say he found jaws out there, and I wasn't going back if he did. They just kept, well, that ain't nothing. I caught 10 pounds. That ain't nothing. I caught 11 pounds over at that thing over there. Well, we was out there in the thing, and I got a 15 pound. I mean, and I thought, man, when I found out the world record's 24 pounds, I thought, they ain't talking guys that Lake Wylie. They've caught bigger than that. Hey, what does it say to pump life into it? No, it says put it to death.
Right.
Put away them spiritual sins. That covetous, which is idolatry, is excessive attachment to something. It's where that thing, you don't have it, it has you. And when you get to that point in life, note this thing, you don't have an ethical problem or a moral problem or a social problem, you got a spiritual problem. Mm-hmm. And that thing, whatever it is, has got between you and God. NFL football, NASCAR racing, basketball. I mean, you men, y'all get tired of me picking on you. Buying shoes. Kato Plus, Hamrix.
Right.
I ain't touching that. But listen, there comes a point where that thing gets you. And it's no longer a physical issue. It's not a social one. It's a spiritual problem. It's called covetousness. When the internet was first out, when Al Gore invented it, that's what he said. He also invented global warming. That didn't work for him either. But when the internet first came out, you could go on there, type in a thing, and you'd hear your phone dial, and it took you 5 minutes to get connected. Then you went to your first web page, and 3 minutes later, you finally saw it. Then you went to the next one, and 15 minutes later, you saw that one. And by that time, you had to go back to real life, and you unplugged it and went on. Now we've got the thing where it's always on. It pops up images that quick. And as society progresses, the faster that thing gets. But wait a minute. Why is it like that? Because that thing, for all the good that can be accomplished, has become a spiritual sin for people. Because that's all they do is covet that time with that thing.
Yep.
No longer prayer in the Bible.
Mom.
Facebook has got them.
Yep.
I don't care what you had to eat last night, and I don't want to see a picture of it.
Amen.
You know why? I may not like it. It might be potato salad, and it'll make me sick, and I don't want to see it. If I go to your house and you serve it, I'm walk by it. But if I'm scrolling through a thing and I see it, I'm thinking, why are you putting that up there? Nobody likes that. Or even worse, you put up something I do like that I can't have.
Yeah.
I got these big Reese cups for Christmas and they're this big. Quit putting that up there. There are those of us that Thanksgiving and Christmas about killed us, okay?
Yeah.
Don't be doing that to us. Make us covet, make us sin.
Yeah.
We don't need to pump life into it, we need to put it to death.
Instead
of taking our time and spending time with God and prayer in the Bible and seeking what God would have us do that day, well, what's she doing? What's he doing? What they doing? You ever heard the thing about mind your business?
Yeah.
Well, I see this church is doing this church is doing that. Did you ever hear what Jesus told Peter when he said, Lord, what's that man going to do? He said, never mind what that man's going to do. He said, you follow me, Peter. You keep your eyes up here. That's in John 21. Don't worry about what they're doing over yonder. You worry about what I'm telling you to do.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, what does that thing become? It becomes a spiritual sin for people.
Right.
Now, I've heard all the preaching in the world about stuff, and I told y'all this a couple weeks ago. A fellow told me about people having video game addiction. I thought he was kidding me when he said it. He said he had a brother. His brother played video games so much, his wife left him. He quit his job so he could have time to play video games. He lost his house, and he moved back in with his parents. And for 12 hours a day, he plays this one video game.
Oh,
so what is that? That's an addiction. No, that's a spiritual sin.
Yeah.
That's a spiritual sin. You know why? It's got between him and God. You say, what if that man's not saved? That's the thing right there.
Come on.
See, here's the deceptiveness about sin. You ready for this? The same sin that affects that guy may not even be a sin for you at all.
Right.
But whatever affects you may not bother him at all either.
See,
I see a lot of this stuff coming together, and I look at it this way. God didn't say pump life into your sins. He said put them to death.
Right.
Call the mortician. Can I tell you who the mortician is? It's not nobody in this town. It's not you. It's not me. The mortician is the Holy Spirit of God. He's the only one that can help you with this. And the only way a man can get help, or a woman or a child can get help, is if they come here and say, Lord, and they recognize I've got this problem or this problem, or maybe you've got all these problems. They were problems before. You've gotten saved. They've crept back in. Now it's time to call the mortician. We've got to get these things to death before they get out of this home here over here. Remember how I told you the law worked on that thing when he said about the embalming? When they come to the funeral home, they may be alive, but they're not going to be when they leave. Hey, when you come to the house of God, listen to me. When you come to the house of God, there will be somebody here that call out these things where you could put them to death up here in this altar. And by the way, do you know what an altar was in the Old Testament? It was a place where they put things to death.
Right.
You say, well, I just don't want to be a show and go up there and all this. No, you want people to think you sinless, and we know that. But listen to this. I see people come to this altar and they know what they're doing. I think they're putting some things to death. I know these fakes and these phonies and these rascals all in these churches, but I know this. I'd rather visit that altar and take care of my business and bring up there and say, Lord, I'll put this thing to death that's killing me.
Right.
Call the mortician.
Amen.
Let's call on him. Father, we love you. Lord, why are we here tonight, this afternoon, Lord? There's a lot going on in our lives.